Becoming a MacArthur Fellow, it's a pretty big deal. For one thing, a lot of people call it the genius grant. You can't apply, you have to be nominated. This fellowship brings a $625,000 no strings attached award. And among the recently announced 2019 class of MacArthur Fellows is University of Michigan philosopher Elizabeth Anderson, and she's here with us now. Professor Anderson, congratulations and welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Did you have any idea that this was in the works and you were going to win this honor and this grant?
Absolutely not. No, they keep a very tight wrap on everything. I was sitting in my desk at home. I was at work from home. Got a call out of the blue. They said, "Are you sitting down?" I said, "Yes." Then they asked, "Are you completely alone?" And I was. And then they had it on speakerphone so that everybody who had been involved in the nomination in the MacArthur Foundation could hear my response when they told me. Of course, I was totally floored.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
What did you feel at that
moment?
Well,
I was just completely amazed and overwhelmed. I mean, obviously, it's not the kind of thing you can expect.
Do you have any idea who nominated you?
No, they keep everything under wraps.
So somewhere out there, you could be seeing them each day, but at this point, you don't know who it was who nominated
you. I'm very grateful, whoever it is.
So tell us about your work, particularly your special areas of interest.
Right. So I'm a philosopher, and my signature method is to be extremely interdisciplinary. So I read across the social sciences, history, women's studies. And I start from what the other disciplines are saying and look for problems that they're identifying. And then I reflect on those problems rather than working entirely internally to the discipline of philosophy.
Which is, you know, this is a really good chance to ask a philosopher. We hear about philosophy. It's an ancient science that goes so far back. But what is philosophy? What do you think it is?
So philosophy asks some fundamental questions about the nature of our world and also about our moral obligations and what is the good, what's justice, but also things like what is the nature of causation, what are laws of nature. So we have metaphysical questions, we have moral and political questions. We also have questions about knowledge, like how do I know anything? By what methods can we acquire knowledge? So we ask really fundamental questions like that. One way to think about philosophers is we're like kids who never grew up. We always ask why? It's like curiosity and we're never satisfied with the answers, but we get deeper and deeper understanding of the terrain by asking these questions.
And what drew you to this field?
I was originally, as an undergraduate, going to major in economics. But when I was reading economics, I saw that it was making all kinds of assumptions that I thought, well, maybe we should question those assumptions.
Like, going back to the kid, why?
Exactly, yeah. Like, why should we assume that just because somebody chose something that it would improve their welfare? Well, you know, people sometimes make self-destructive decisions. And those questions lead you naturally to philosophy.
And I know your research has dug into democratic theory and equality in political philosophy. What insights can you offer to a country where so many people feel left behind and that the system and all the goodies have passed them by?
Well, that's a fantastic question. So a lot of my research is starting from those concerns, and I've been exploring different ways in which those concerns emerge. One of them is in the workplace. My latest book called Private Government, How Employers Rule Us and Why We Don't Talk About It is about the experience of workers being ruled by their bosses, not only while they're at work, but even off duty.
And we can thank technology for that.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of surveillance, exactly, and employers keep tabs on people. Workers can be fired for expressing political opinions that their employer disagrees with. There's all kinds of control. In many states, workers can be fired because they married a same-sex partner. So these seem to be private decisions that they should have all to themselves, and employers are basically taking a hand in it and imposing serious costs. And so my book is about that, but it's starting from the problematic experiences that workers have. And then I'm thinking in a larger terms about, okay, this is a problem. And how should we understand this problem? And my argument is we should understand it as a form of what I call private government, which is to say government which is held privately by the rulers from which the governed are kept out. And we think that kind of government is wrong for the state, so why should it be okay for the employment relation? Workers ought to have a voice. Now, we do have a long tradition of labor unions where workers do get a voice. But as you know, in Michigan, as well as really across the country, labor unions have been in decline. So I'm thinking about alternative ways of governing the workplace so workers can have a voice.
Elizabeth, do you encounter situations where a student may say, you know what? I'm really taken with this. I want to major in philosophy. And then you have a tuition-paying parent who is less than enthusiastic and wondering, how employable would you be with your philosophy degree? What do you say to those students and parents?
The College of Literature, Sciences, and Arts has a wonderful tool. They have a giant wheel online, and for each major, it shows what careers people with that major end up taking. And it turns out that philosophers end up everywhere. They enter all the professions. They go into business. They go into finance. Really, being a philosophy major actually opens up opportunities because businesses like to hire people who have tackled difficult problems, mastered writing skills, have really serious analytical abilities. They're looking for generalists, and generalists then can hop in and handle all kinds of challenges that are thrown at them.
They know how to think.
Work. Exactly.
They know how to think, and they're nimble.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me, with this $625,000 grant that you'll be getting over the next 5 years, what will that let you do? How will this affect your work?
Primarily, I'm going to be taking research leave because I have a lot of books to write. So that'll be my main thing. I'll be buying out some time.
It's known as the Genius Grant. Do you feel like a genius?
So as a philosopher who's also a woman, I want to take exception to this notion of geniuses. There was actually a study done that showed that the ratio of women in any discipline is directly negatively correlated to people's beliefs about whether you need to be a genius to practice that discipline. And philosophy is off the charts, and people thinking, oh, this is such a hard thing. Only geniuses can do it. And philosophy also has far fewer women than any other discipline in the liberal arts except for physics. I think physics and philosophy basically have roughly the same percentage of women.
Which is very, very modest.
Because people think also you got to be a genius to be a physicist, whereas women are strongly represented in other fields such as biology and psychology and literature and so forth. But in fact, I think this is just a complete myth. And even at the very founding of philosophy, we go back to the 5th century BC in ancient Greece. One of the earliest philosophers was Plato. And his hero was Socrates, another famous Greek philosopher. Plato wrote a bunch of dialogues where Socrates is encountering various Athenians and starting up philosophical conversations with them. And Socrates struck up a philosophical conversation with a slave boy. I think Plato's sending a message here that, in fact, philosophy is for everyone. And that gets back to my original point, which is that philosophers basically never stop asking why. We're just like kids in that way. And I want to write for the public to show that anybody can pick up a work of philosophy and reflect on it and put in their own two cents.
Professor Elizabeth Anderson of the University of Michigan, a philosopher who's among the recently announced 2019 Class of MacArthur Fellows. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.